You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, yep, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it would be Monday. That'd be Monday all day long. Monday following Easter weekend and the Boomers on the board. Hey, buddy.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm awesome. What a great weekend.
Did you have a good one?
We did.
I mean, the weather was celebration. Sorry, on Saturday, wasn't it?
Oh, my word.
There weren't no Easter egg hunts on Saturday.
Nothing on Saturday, but then on Sunday, he's risen and it was awesome.
That's right. Exactly right. He is risen and there are Easter eggs and the sun is shining. That is exactly right. That's good. So your little man had how many Easter egg hunts?
At least two. At least two. He was all about it. It was fun. It was fun. No Easter egg hunts for you, though, right?
No, our grandbabies live out of state, so we saw them the weekend before. Was it the weekend before? Anyway, we saw them recently.
Right.
Not recently enough, in my opinion, but we got FaceTime with him, and he got to watch a video of him flying his first kite.
Oh.
He is a master kite flyer, I will go ahead and say.
Oh, I like it.
That's right. It's just his world. We all live in it. He flies kites.
I understand.
It's good. All right, hey, we got a great show laid on for you today. Deliberately chose not to have guests today because the content is so thick. I mean, like, we got stuff here. So we're going to talk about them one piece at a time, break them down, dissect them. Y'all call in and give us your thoughts on it, but let's hit that triple dipper.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you have got to know as we run today's show. So number one, right out the gate, we got to spend time talking about something that happened at the tail end of the week, literally while I was on the air. I'm calling this section number one of the triple dipper, mob rule. Mob rule. Did you hear about the Army sergeant who was convicted of murder for defending himself in the middle of a BLM riot when an armed protester pointed an AK-47 at him? Well, depending upon who you are, the facts may sound differently to you, but nonetheless, Army Sergeant Daniel Perry was convicted of murder, and he's believing that he is literally acting in self-defense, and now the governor's involved. I'll tell you all about it. Number one of the triple dipper, we'll talk about mob rule, what happens when those mobs gather around you. Number two, I'm just calling this from the Tennessee Rough Cut. All right, so the Tennessee Rough Cut, the unedited version, the pieces, parts, the stuff that hadn't even been left on the editing room floor yet, the rough cut. So what is going on in the Tennessee State House? Yeah, I mean, so you got three legislators who jump in there and not only, you know, agree with the protesters, insurrection, but then they're actually leading protests on the floor of the the Tennessee State House. Not supposed to work that way. And they paid for it. I'll talk about the details of it, but suffice to say, they were all ousted last week. And now they are the cause celeb. Everybody wants a piece of what they call the Tennessee Three. So yeah, we'll talk about Tennessee Rough Cut, number two on the Triple Dipper. And then number three, China Rising. You know, great power conflict is not inevitable. I won't say that we're going to have a war. I'm not one of those who believes that war is always around the corner, but I will tell you this, war is always possible. War with China is closer right now than it's ever been. War with China is right now closer than it's ever been. Consider the facts that are going on in the Indo-Pacific theater and in and around the entire Pacific region and the South China Sea and especially Taiwan. So I'll tell you about that. Number three on the triple dipper, China Rising. But let me jump over here to my comments. So some of you will remember that famous comedian, Rodney Dangerfield. Remember him? And now that I've said his name, I'm betting that there's scores of you out there listening that just smiled, reached up to your collar like you're straightening out your tie, and you said in a fidgety voice, "I tell you, I get no respect." With his self-deprecating style, Dangerfield made a career out of being a sad sack victim, you know? Nothing was ever good enough. Everybody was always out to get him. And he was hilarious with a whole stand-up routine of what we would now call a bunch of dad jokes. I tell you, I get no respect. Last week, my house was on fire. My wife told the kids, be quiet or you'll wake up daddy. I was ugly, I tell you, very ugly. When I was born, the doctor smacked my mother. Just on and on like this. My fan club broke up. Yeah, you know, the one guy died. So Dangerfield, that was a stage name, by the way. Dangerfield got his start when he was just 15 writing comedy sketches for others. In the 60s, he began doing his own routines, took on the persona of Rodney Dangerfield, the quirky guy who always lamented that he got no respect. But then in 1967, the Ed Sullivan Show needed a last-minute replacement, and Dangerfield jumped in and became the hit of the show. He also went on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson and returned to do that show more than 70 times. In 1980, he actually won a Grammy for his comedy album, which was called, you guessed it, No Respect. But for me, as a high school kid of the 80s, the highlight of his career had to have been playing the rich, obnoxious real estate developer in Caddyshack. A whole career just playing the part of a guy who felt like he never got any respect, but it was just comedy. You know, it was good for a laugh. In the background, everybody knew it was a hilarious sketch. Unfortunately, we too often see the law getting no respect from liberals, and that's no laughing matter. There have been several multiple examples in the last few years of progressive liberals literally calling for the law to be ignored or the rule of law to be changed, or at least for their agenda, or the concept of legislative lawmaking just being notional, no respect for the law whatsoever. You may recall when President Biden issued his declaration, a mere executive order, to mandate that all God's children, public sector, private sector, military, and civilian, all had to get the COVID vaccine. And as he issued the order, the president literally announced that his legal advisors had warned him that it might not be constitutional. But hey, he did it anyway. No respect for the law. Such examples go on and on, such as liberals marching on the homes of Supreme Court justices despite the law fully protecting justices from such undue influence. And how long did it take the Biden Department of Justice to actually provide protection for the justices? No respect for the law is a hallmark of progressive liberalism. The elections of 2020, those have to rank as one of the most lawless elections in U.S. history. Biden may be in the Oval Office now, but many are rightfully of the belief that his term of office has an asterisk next to it. I mean, how can he say otherwise, as the Constitution requires that the various state legislatures are the only forum capable of amending their respective state election laws? But yet we had local officials, governors, secretaries of state, and more all making their own unilateral determinations how to run that election, and it created massive national discord, simply because the left is no respecter of the law. And then there's the BLM riots. Civil unrest that often turned violent, leaving lives lost, buildings burned, and whole cities rendered unsafe. All of it occurred while local, state, and national edicts were being issued, requiring businesses to close due to COVID. People weren't allowed to worship in their churches or earn a living, but rioters could assemble and burn their way through whole city blocks while being protected and even mollycoddled by liberal politicians who named streets and plazas after them and bowed down to them in the public square. The respect for the law was truly one-sided during that time. But the latest example of no respect for the law just came yesterday, and even liberal pundit Anderson Cooper of CNN was a bit taken aback by it. Liberal firebrand Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, one who has never been held back by actual facts, she reacted in horror that a sitting federal court would dare to do its job and to make a ruling that the FDA should be halted from approving widespread distribution of mifepristone, otherwise known as the abortion pill. You see, when the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade in 2022, it sent the issue of abortion back to the various states as a matter of law. The Supreme Court indicated renewed respect for the Constitution, and finding that there was no constitutional right to an abortion, the Supremes, in a 5-4 majority, relied then upon the 10th Amendment and sent the matter to the states to decide at the state level. Well, apparently that's a horrible thing for liberals. So now, instead of fighting the idea of killing babies on demand at one location, the Supreme Court, well, they have to fight it in 50 locations. But then again, that's the law, right? Well, the law only works if you're willing to respect it. And the Biden administration has immediately taken steps to override states like Alabama, who chose legislatively and legally to be pro-life. Suddenly, the talk is that VA hospitals, military bases, federally reimbursed hospitals, drugstores, they must all be willing to conduct abortions or face repercussions. As a part of this lawless approach to abortion, the federal government has also attempted to skirt state law and to have abortion pills mailed to people's homes. The court said no. Well, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez then said the inside words on the outside. Here's what she said. She said, quote, I believe the Biden administration should ignore this ruling, she said on CNN, adding that, quote, deeply partisan judges having, quote, engaged in unprecedented and dramatic erosion of the legitimacy of the courts, calling the ruling unfounded. Yeah, well, the former barista-turned-congresswoman argued that when it comes to a ruling, it relies on enforcement, urging Biden to remain from complying with Trump-appointed U.S. District Judge Matthew Kaczmarek's decision. It's up to the Biden administration, she says, to enforce it, to choose whether or not to enforce a ruling. Well, that's when CNN host Anderson Cooper actually questioned her, asking the liberal Democrat if we should live in a country where a government can ignore a federal court ruling. And AOC then went on to defend her comments, saying the judge's ruling was nothing but a power grab. Right. Well, Democrat Senator Ron Wyden from Oregon also made similar remarks. He argued that the Biden administration can avoid the judge's ruling for the abortion pill, saying, quote, there's no way this decision has a basis in law. It is instead rooted in conservatives' dangerous and undemocratic takeover of our institutions. He said, I believe the Food and Drug Administration has the authority to ignore this ruling, which is why I'm again calling on President Biden and the FDA to do just that. Wow. Listen, here's the bottom line, y'all. A nation of laws cannot be a nation of laws if there's no respect for the law. I mean, Rodney Dangerfield, he was a funny man, claims to have never gotten respect. I tell you, no respect. That was humor. Democrats, though, disrespecting the rule of law, ain't nothing funny about that at all. Not by a stretch. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. There you have it. No respect. Yeah. Well, the end result of all of this is, if you're a nation of laws, you're a nation of laws, whether you like the laws or not. If they're duly enacted or upheld by the courts, whether it be common law or statutory law, it doesn't matter. You don't get the option of saying, I'm a member of Congress, and therefore I think we should ignore that court's ruling. It doesn't work that way. Somebody send her back to being a barista, please. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. It is a Monday all day long, but it's a pretty Monday, though. It's a good Monday. I like this Monday so far. yeah, I tell you what, though, I say that, but, man, there is some news going on right now in Louisville, Kentucky. You tracking all this, Boomer? You seeing this?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is awful.
Terrible.
So if you haven't heard, shooting incident, I say incident, man, this is a slaughter. Apparently, what we're finding out now is that in downtown Louisville, which is where the lovely Charlene is from, in downtown Louisville, a man who was a former employee of a bank walked into the bank and began shooting the employee, or began shooting people. I'm not sure if they're all employees or not. The end result is right now, if I understand correctly, there are 5 people dead, 8 wounded, 3 of whom are in critical condition and in surgery fighting for their lives. Wow. That's a 13 person, body count, 5 of whom are dead, to include the shooter, by the way. And in an interesting or just a horrible twist, the Kentucky governor, Andy Beshear, is on the press conference right this minute as we speak. He said that one of those that was killed was one of his closest friends who was in the bank at the time. That's just awful. Well, okay, we'll keep track of that situation. You can imagine, I mean, the calls for gun control have already come out. We don't even know anything about it yet. I don't know what kind of weapon the person had. We don't know, you know, if the person reacted to something at the scene or if it was a premeditated plan. We don't know what the scoop was. All we know is a horrible situation in downtown Kentucky, which, by the way, at one point there were 2 active shootings going on at the same time. And I heard one pundit talking about how, you know, resources have been diverted to this bank and we're heavy on the scene for rightful reasons. And then another shooting broke out, I believe, at the campus of Jefferson Community College, because I think that's Jefferson County in Kentucky. And the pundit was talking about how now you gotta manage, you gotta extend resources to two major sites, major incidents. I don't know anything about that other shooting yet. Maybe it was just a one-off kind of a shot in the air, for all I know. But anyway, the bank victims downtown, just bad stuff, man, just horrible. I tell you what, though, phone lines are open, text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. And if you want to text in, we'll take it. I mean, I'm already seeing some. What do we got here? Oh, my monologue a moment ago. Badger from Athens with regards to AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I mentioned she was a barista. He says everyone voted for AOC just to get her out of that bar. And then he also wishes you and I, by the way, Boom, a blessed Easter. And, appreciate you, Badger. What else thank we got you. In there? Do you see any other texts in there?
We got some good, just hope we had some good Easter. I just hope everybody had a great Easter weekend. Just with friends and families.
Saturday's weather was awful.
Yes.
But the weekends and the gatherings and, you know, the worship time and all that good stuff. Mm. Kimball from Harvest texted in. It says, regarding that Army sergeant convicted of murder in self-defense, said, I hope his chain of command supports him and will back him, or excuse me, bring him back to duty with no mention of his incident in his record. With the wokeness that is increasingly imposed on the military, I am genuinely concerned. Kimball, you know, one thing I don't know, because I did all I could this morning. In fact, I spent extra time trying to find out what we could about him, about maybe his career, and the same about the guy who died. His name is Garrett Foster. So the sergeant is Daniel Perry, and the deceased is Garrett Foster. So I'll say those names a lot later. I could not find out why he's no longer on active duty. It may be that he just ETS'd out when his, you know, end of tour, when his contract was up. He was an E5, a sergeant. I think he had 9 years, served in Afghanistan. We'll talk all about that later, but I could not find out why he is not on active duty now. Was he discharged? Did he just get out naturally? I don't know. I don't know. We'll figure that. If you know, somebody knows, please let us know. I would like to know myself. Bill from North Alabama says, Bill in the Grove. Seems there were some previous, I don't know what he's telling me. He's asking something. I have to get back to him. It was a super long text. I can't even read it while I'm just running here. All right. Bill in North Alabama, give me a moment. I'll come back to your text, see if I can do something with it. And then John from Huntsville texted in, says, hope you and Boomer had a happy Easter. And by the way, that was one crazy Masters. Did you watch the Masters? Are you a golf guy?
I watched a little bit. I'm going to say that I haven't really enjoyed watching golf before on TV. And I was sitting there on Saturday watching the Masters. And next thing I know, I'm like, I kind of enjoy this. I can just sit here and relax and fall asleep. And when I wake up, they're doing the same thing.
Does this mean you're an old man now?
I guess so. I enjoyed it.
All right, you guys. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back with number one of the Triple Dipper, Mob Rule. Y'all stay tuned.